ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Former President Trump has a big lead going into tomorrow's South Carolina Republican primary.
Tomorrow you will cast one of the most important votes of your entire life. And honestly, we're not very worried about tomorrow. We want to aim toward a time called November 5th.
The former president at a rally in Rock Hill, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley says she's staying in the race no matter what happens tomorrow in her home state. A New York jury found the National Rifle Association and its former leader liable of lavish spending. Jurors ordered former Vice President Wayne LaPierre to pay more than $4 million in restitution. Two Mississippi National Guard members were killed when their helicopter crashed during a routine training flight. NORAD fighter jets intercepted a small balloon high over Utah. The Texas company that made the Odysseus lunar lander says the spacecraft landed on its side near the moon's south pole. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution are moving forward. Both ideas came up during the COVID-19 pandemic. One would let churches and other houses of worship stay open during public health emergencies. It needs to be passed by lawmakers one more time. The other would give the legislature more say on how federal money is spent. That amendment now goes to a statewide referendum in November. Governor Evers says he'll veto a Republican bill to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin, but Representative Jeffrey Meursault says the bill has important legal protections for innocent landowners.
That's the whole crux of this whole bill is trying to get stuff cleaned up without taking and making somebody liable that had nothing to do with it.
Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WMDX News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Several people fell through the ice on Madison area lakes this week. Three students were rescued after falling through on Lake Mendota Friday morning. They were safely brought to shore by the Madison Fire Department and did not require medical attention. On Wednesday, a fisherman fell through near Brittingham Park on Lake Monona. He, too, was rescued and required no medical attention. University of Wisconsin police urge everyone to stay off the ice, as recent warm temperatures have made the ice unsafe. A GoFundMe has been set up to help pay for the funeral expenses for two children who were killed in a homicide last weekend. They were killed by their mother, who then turned the gun on herself. Major and Maya Lacey Robinson were students at Sauk Trail Elementary School in Middleton. The money from the GoFundMe will also go to counseling services for surviving family members. And that's what you need to know. I'm Nate Wiggehout, WMDX News.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent, running high-profile projects in Madison that change the city's skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 608-240-0314 and press 0 to apply. That's 608-240-0314 and press 0.
Gary Sanchez joins the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former Yankee Gary Sanchez has arrived nearly 3 weeks after it was first reported he'd been signed by the Brewers. It turns out he injured his right wrist during off-season workouts, something detected during his physical. Sanchez spoke through an interpreter.
No, yeah, it's a process that was, you know, more or less long, but had a little something in the hand. But here now, and with plenty of time, get to know the players, get to know the coaches, and happy to be here.
Sanchez says he should be ready to play catcher and DH in a couple of weeks. NBA, Bucks against the Timberwolves tonight in Minneapolis. No Chris Middleton, still out with an ankle injury. NFL, the Packers introduced their new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. I asked Matt LaFleur what he wants to see from the defense after dismissing Joe Barry.
I want us to be fast and physical and attack the ball and be able to go out there and generate takeaways.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. flurries ending, mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-teens. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high in the upper 30s. Low 50s for a high and mostly sunny Sunday. On Monday, even warmer. Windy with a high in the low 60s, lots of sun. It's 25 right now.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Albaugh, noon to 3 on Monday. We'll review the week's news and bring you a little entertainment as well, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, Friday! Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, TGIBP. TGI, thank God it's Busted Pencils, Johnny. I know it's Friday. It's supposed to be TGIF, yeah. But man, on TGIF. But you know, and it's thank God it's Busted Pencils. Well, actually, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's all the time. Busted Pencils every night, 6 o'clock in the Wisconsin. Hey, and on the Civic Media app. Anytime you happen to want to hit that Civic Media app, you can listen live. You can listen to any one of your favorite talk shows, all of the podcasts from the week before. They're all there, Johnny. If you want to check out our show from last night, we had Dr. Tankin and Dr. Maroon. Holy crap. All you got to do is go to the Civic Media app, download that podcast, and you're listening to last night's show. Johnny, though, quick promo here. Hey, Max Inc. Radio Matinee Concert Series, putting it out there, presented by Mad Radio 92.7 and Civic Media. Tickets at highnoon.com. Johnny, Sunday, March 17th.
This is cool. This is really
right?
Cool, Tim. I mean, we love music. Folks who listen to us know we're always talking about the music, and we love our bumper music. Tonight, you're going to get to hear some of the bands that we're stoked are playing at the High Noon Saloon in Madison, Wisconsin on March 17th. Doors open at noon. The shows are all afternoon, right? You've got Super Tanker, Iron Plow, Cindy Set My Hair on Fire.
I got to see. Cool, right? I want to see Cindy Set My Hair on Fire. I am so, that would be, wow, really? The problem, though, Johnny, with Cindy Set Our Hair, you and I don't have hair to be set on fire anymore.
Well, Cindy already set
we're
our hair.
We're safe.
Well, and it's awesome, man. Super Tanker, a Madison rock band. You know, I found out about them a couple weeks ago, actually, and was able to check out their music. Actually loved the stuff. And they got a new album coming out. So this will be a lot of fun, man. This is awesome that Mad Radio 92.7. You know, is involved, and we're stoked that not only we know about it, but we get to promote it. So our listeners, you can hear it. Yeah. Go to High Noon Saloon and check out these rocking bands.
March 17th, High Noon Saloon, and check it out. Get your tickets at highnoon.com. That's capital HIGH-NOON.com.
And Tim, Tim, people might be wondering why are they so hype about this event or music and these guys. Of course, everyone loves good music, right? Well, I hope so. You might not share the same taste as Tim and as Tim and I, but one of the things, and we've been talking about it all week, whether it's talking about, you know, what test scores have done to change and shift schools and classrooms. We've talked about how referendums are important. Because there's been such a defunding of public education. We've chopped that up with some great guests this week. But then also, back to this music thing, music in our communities, culture, and art, and political discussions, and just getting together to enjoy life is so important. It's such a part of democracy. We're so lucky that we have the freedom to do that kind of stuff in our communities, and that young people, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully the fires are stoked for creativity in schools, but that's, you know, we know that's not always the case. And so wherever we can support the arts, it's so important, because maybe it's not happening in your local high school or in your local middle school. And you know what? We got to make sure it is, because that's where all our great music comes from, is from young people who were encouraged to be creative.
That reminds me, Johnny, right? That reminds about, or reminds the listener and everybody too, music, it's not special. It's essential. It's essential. We learned that this week. Stop calling art, recess, music, all of those specials. They're not special. They're special, but they're essential. Right. Hey, and if you want to jump in and you didn't get a chance because the radio or the phones were down last night, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Give us a call. But hey, and also on this Civic Media app, if you are one of those ones who are saying, I don't really want to hear my voice on the radio, use the Civic Media app. Send us your question. Text us your question. Ask us what's happening, what's going on out there, because it was, Johnny, an incredible week.
Wow, it was a lot this week. We had some great discussions and just some beautiful guests. I mean,
guests and callers. I mean, yeah. I think Wednesday we had a line of people waiting to talk.
Good.
You know, and that's the Educators Amplified, though. Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna there on Wednesday bringing some heat with the referendums and stuff like that.
Well, and I was thinking about the week today, Tim, because it's Friday, and you know, one way to wind down the week as you're kind of closing out your teaching day for me is to think about, man, we got to have some really cool conversations this week. Some stuff that really stuck with me. We talked a lot about, you know, we brought it up and even behind the scenes for our listeners out there, Tim and I were able to reach out to some Indigenous educators. And so we can continue that discussion that we had started at the beginning of the week, where we are talking about, you know, the importance of recognizing and honoring, you know, Indigenous knowledges and cultures, especially those local to us, but then also of the importance of reconciling history. And that was thematic across the whole week, right? It's like how we teach and the ways we can think about teaching history, civics, and all the subjects in a way that values the learning and the well-being of young people as they're preparing to be active democratic citizens. I mean, L.A. Tom called in. He reminded us, you know, we're a government of the people, for the people, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really important to remember. But you have to learn to be. So that's why we always have these discussions of the critical things happening in our communities that are necessary in order to make sure every kid has a good education. And with that means that teachers have the opportunity and the resources to provide that amazing education opportunity.
Man, that's true. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. There it is. Week in review. We are absolutely happy to talk about any one of those topics if you'd like to bring it up. However, though, Johnny, as we head into the weekend, I do like to use Friday as a kind of like, hey, what is happening out there? I got three.
What's popping in the world?
I got, you know, three major headlines. Let's just start with the headlines. What do superintendents need to know?
That's
about,
right.
Hey, guess what? One of our favorite topics, artificial intelligence. What do superintendents? Yeah. Let me tell you, here's the thing. Man. If you're a superintendent out there, give us a call. What do you know? What do we need to know? The other one, hey, Georgia lawsuit claims veteran teachers are threatened by curriculum restrictions and bleed into Black History Month, teaching strategies change amid curriculum restrictions. Man, it's out there, Johnny. You know, we're talking about this serious issues, lots of things happening. Right now, pulling a lot of our education news from K-12 Dive, and I just want to put that out there to make sure that everybody, you know, if you want to see the stories, we're pulling them off of K-12 Dive. They're out there. Lots of good news. Not the only education news source, but one of the ones that has the most timely topics that Busted Pencils likes to use when we go after trending education news. Johnny,
information from Tim.
Hey, man, I just want to make sure that people know when I'm using others to get my information. Right. I might be an educated educator who talks education, but I also have to go out and get educated. And you know,
sure. And last Friday we were talking about that wild case in Florida of corporal punishment. It's kind of sparked us on a deep dive with listeners to think about, like, can you believe that in 19 states is so permissible to strike a kid, right, as a form of disciplinary recourse, right? So we've got into that, but now we got these three. You're back on the AI. I love that you bring it in, Tim. You know, my avoidance strategy for AI is, like, again, I stand firmly in this space of, like, the technology is so powerful and it's so exciting too. It's also developing at a rate so fast that we just don't have the human capacity necessarily to organize around it. And it's been exciting because, you know, it's here and it's part of all the learning spaces and teaching spaces we're in. It's part of... If you don't notice it in your workspace yet, it's coming. And we're not saying that in terms of like in a scare tactic. It's like if you were like me and you were fighting this as much as you could, like, give up the battle to be part of the war, because you got to know what's happening in AI. The stuff is really powerful. I found a lot of ways, Tim, this week it's been used for good.
Johnny Lupinacci coming on with a little bit of good there, man.
Well, anytime I start to feel really like I'm the get off my lawn guy, you know, and I start to feel like I'm aging myself even more than I already look aged, you know, my students remind me, hey, prof, check this out. Here is a really awesome way folks are using AI. Here's another scary thing about, but here's also what you could do. Like, they're kind of always giving me that both sides of the story or the multiple views. I think that's important. So we want to dive into this. Why is this important for superintendents?
Well, I was gonna say, let's frame it there. I know, you know, we're getting ready to come up on a break, but just to think about this superintendent, Johnny, imagine this. You're a superintendent in schools. You know, Dr. Maroon last night, our guest, Dr. Jamil Maroon, he's a superintendent. What does a superintendent have to know to be ready for artificial intelligence? Because as you put it out there, Johnny, it's here. It's already going forward. What is that, you know, kind of knowledge? If you're a superintendent and you're already out there going, I already got enough to do, I got enough things to know about, I got enough issues, and now Slecker and Lupinacci are telling me I got to get up with AI. Yeah, we are. We're telling you got to get up with AI. And when one of the things that I got here, though, Johnny, we'll actually help people right now a little bit when we get back. We're going to give people the executive leadership readiness questionnaire for AI. If you are an executive leader in a school, I'm going to ask you some questions that you need to be thinking about as a checklist. This is that kind of original, you know, checklist here. And man, we'll do a lot more things as we come back, you know, thinking about this. I'll give you a little hint, though. One of the areas that you need to know a lot about are the politics involved. Oh, Johnny, putting a little note to me. That's Rise Against right there, man.
Yeah,
that's it, man.
I love it.
That's what we do here. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. What does AI and superintendency have to do with each other? More when we get back. It'll be Busted Pencils. We're going to bust lots of pencils. 844-967-2789. Back in a minute.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common sense investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
You're listening to Matt Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Speaking of that Max Inc. Radio Matinee Concert Series by Mad Radio 92.7, March 17th, High Noon Saloon. There you go, Super Tanker, Johnny.
Dude, I love Super Tanker. I'm just telling you, man. They're like one of my favorite bands this week. Just learned about them. Stoked about the show. They've been in my playlist. Check them out. They got a new album, Broiler. It's hot. No, and totally pun intended on that.
Yeah, loving it. Hey, and check it out, Matt Damon. Yeah, that was Matt Damon. Just telling you, reminding him, stop bothering him, man. Ask his mom. Hey,
in fact, we're going to do that.
We're going to be coming up here, yeah, pretty soon.
For our regular listeners, you know we get Nancy Carlson Page on here to throw down, and boy, does she have amazing stuff to share. One of our most favorite guests in Busted Pencil. History and we'll have her back on soon. So hold on to your pants.
Hold on tight. So Johnny, what do superintendents need to know about artificial intelligence? I was going through what's called the artificial intelligence checklist or the readiness list. For schools. This is coming out. You're going to COSIN.org/AI/. And this is the company leading education and innovation. They have got their whole readiness checklist right there. Everything you need right now, if you are a superintendent, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent wondering about AI in school, what are the things that are going, you can check that out by going to that link. And what I'm looking at, Johnny, right here is 24 questions. If you're executive leadership, can you answer these questions? How can you answer them? Because making sure that you can is going to be part of being ready. So the first one, does the use of generative artificial intelligence align to achieving your district's mission, vision, goals, and values? Right off the bat, right away, AI, does it align? You're the superintendent, you're the principal, you're the classroom teacher. Does AI align to your mission, to your vision, to your goals, and to your values? That would be an interesting kind of topic, even just to have, you know, kind of like a brainstorming session to sit down and say, I don't know, does it? Hey, what are our mission and values and things like that? Let's put those all out there again and talk about AI. And does AI lead to a better discussion? Are you adequately equipped to leverage AI's potential benefits and understand the challenges? Okay. New technologies. Are you ready even for it to go forward? Do you have the capabilities? Do you have a designated? This is the one, though, Johnny. I think I'm going to nominate Johnny Lupinacci for this. A designated point person responsible for overseeing the adoption, procurement, and management of Gen AI within your district. Johnny Lupinacci is looking to be the point person out there superintendents.
Okay. But yes, I do like that, Tim. I do like that.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Isn't Johnny, what's great about this, the K-12 dive article about superintendents, though, is going to this link in this toolkit put out.
Yeah, I love it, man. You sent it to me today. You know, on my lunch break, I was reading the articles and I was like, yeah, these are good things for us to talk about. I pulled up the toolkit after work today and I thought, hey, this is good, right? This is pretty helpful. And in fact, I'm going to add it into my resources that I share with school leaders. I get to work with a number of them. And this is in every way something that every school leader out there has on their purview is what are our district policies and positions on AI in the classroom, just the way that artificial intelligence and these technologies are influencing our young people. And so this is a nice tool. I hope there are more to come. But this readiness checklist, it really helps us as school leaders be prepared and aware for the kinds of questions and positions we have to have on something very real. Like I said earlier in the show today, it's here, even though I give it a hard time. And I give you a hard time, Tim, because I'm kind of a get off my lawn guy about this.
I know.
But I will tell you, the more I experiment with it, the more my students, you know, I have to say, I was talking about it earlier this week when we were talking about how important it is to bring humility to learning spaces. I'm not talking about humiliation, but, yeah, you know, just being humble
and humble.
Being a co-learner with your students, like Martha, first grade teacher who called in this week and talked about the history class she's taken about Indigenous histories. That's so rad, because a lot of us, we aren't experts on that. We didn't learn it. We weren't taught that. And that's not an excuse, right? We're co-learning with our students. So we go out there and get the information. And Tim, my students, they've been schooling me this week on AI. So I'm co-learning. Actually, I'm a little behind. You know, they're differentiating the instruction for me. Nice. They're slowing it down and helping show me how it can be used for good. It can also be problematic. It has limitations. You know, we all know the stories of, like, when it produces an image with six fingers, or, you know, or when it fabricates events or people. And so there are limitations and there are things to know about. Are those reasons to shy away from it or ban it? Probably not. And so this readiness checklist is a helpful tool. Love it.
I'm just looking down, though, and I'm wondering, are you telling me that the six fingers I have on my hand are a problem?
Well, man, if you got six fingers, awesome. You probably slay on the guitar.
You should see me typing. Hey, some great questions, though. I just want to highlight this back on that checklist for executive leadership. And this is dealing in the realm of legislation and administrative rules. I think these questions are really powerful to be asking yourselves. Do your state laws or school districts' rules prohibit the use of generative AI in school districts? Are you even allowed to use it? I mean, checking that out. Make sure. Do your state laws or school districts' rules specifically allow for the use of generative AI for instructional use within the districts? There's a little caveat in there. Are you allowed to use it for instruction? Which may be then what might you not be allowed to use it for? Do your state laws or school districts' rules specifically allow for the use of general AI for business and administrative use within the districts? Are you allowed to use AI to actually process some of those administrative tasks? Do you have a process to educate and keep your school board informed about the use of generative AI across K-12 education and the efficacy of using generative AI in your school district? That question right there. Do you have a process to educate and keep your school board informed about the use of generative AI across school districts? How many school boards? I'm thinking about our guest 2 weeks ago, Daniel Ford, the past school board member in Las Vegas, you know, bringing the education of AI to the school board. How many people out there are serving on a school board right now and are sitting there going, man, generative AI? I should have some kind of thought about how we should be using this in my school. School board members, are you talking to the superintendent of the school district? What are the conversations you're having about generative AI, how it's going to be used in school to support learning, how it's going to be used by your administrators to possibly make some of the administrative tasks that used to take a long, long, long time, speed them up in a way where you sit there and go, whoa, generative AI. It's all it is. Johnny, I hear that. I think it's Super Tanker again. My goodness. There they are. Max Inc. Radio Matinee. Man, love it. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be there. March 17th. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded. Back after the break.
Tune in Monday, special Devil's Advocates, live from Michigan before the primary. Dom's old stomping grounds. Listen, WMDX, 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A number of proposed changes to education policy in Wisconsin are moving ahead. The State Assembly voted yesterday to grow the Office of School Safety, expand the types of organizations that can license teachers, and to update apprenticeship programs. A Wisconsin Native American leader is praising state officials for increasing affordable housing and working to increase Medicaid reimbursements for tribal hospitals and clinics.
Wisconsin's tribes will see a more than $60 million increase in their federal Medicaid reimbursements. That is likely the most significant financial gain for Wisconsin tribes since the advent of tribal gaming in this state.
Forest County Potawatomi Chairman James Crawford gave yesterday's State of the Tribes speech. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WMDX News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Madison police are on the lookout for a man who they say left a group home on the north side and never returned. Police say Lucas Scram was reported missing Thursday night. People at the group home say that he had left the day before and had not returned. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is urged to contact the Madison Police Department. Students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison are looking to kick Starbucks off campus. Members of the Students Against Starbucks group held a rally Thursday outside the Memorial Union. They say that the company has a history of anti-labor behavior and has had numerous labor law violations. Earlier this week, baristas at two Madison-area Starbucks filed to hold an election to form a union. Thursday's rally was part of a nationwide effort to get Starbucks off college campuses at over two dozen universities. And that's what you need to know. I'm Nate Wegehout, WMDX News.
This St. Paddy's Day, remember the story of Lenny the Leprechaun. Lenny moved to Madison searching for a place to live.
If I find the right place, I'll find me pot of gold.
So he went online and searched up movetomadison.com.
Ooh, what riches!
Yes, Lenny, riches indeed. People that sell with the Aaron Weber Group get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes, virtual or in-person meetings too. Find your pot of gold when selling with the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. People can't seem to get enough of the lovable Kelsey Grammer, except me. But that's okay. Happy to take one for the team. Deadline reports that Frasier will get a second season on Paramount+. The Frasier character originated on the show Cheers before getting his own wildly popular show called Frasier. In the reboot, the character finds himself back in Boston. Former desperate housewife Eva Longoria will join the cast of Only Murders in the Building. The Hollywood Reporter says Longoria will join Molly Shannon and series regulars Selena Gomez, Steve Martin, and Martin Short. Longoria's character and storyline are being kept a secret. Is it possible the hit comedy will bump off season 3 edition Meryl Streep? It just seems like with this much star power, someone needs to be killed off. How about Kelsey Grammer? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flurries ending, mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-teens. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high in the upper 30s. Low 50s for a high and mostly sunny Sunday. On Monday, even warmer. Windy with a high in the low 60s, lots of sun. It's 25 right now.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7. WMDX.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
I'm a darkness coming in the dead of night. One day morning it'll be alright.
There it is. Listen to that. Coming soon. March. March 17th, High Noon Saloon, Max Inc. Radio Matinee. There they are, Johnny. Can you name that? Can you name that band, man?
I'm guessing that's got to be Iron Plow.
That's Iron Plow. There they are, man.
Power Rock Trio.
There they go. Man, I love the Power Rock Trio. Growing up in the late 70s and 80s, man, Rush, one of my favorite bands out there. Triumph, Power Rock Trios could just deliver amazing stuff. Sounds to me like Iron Plow's right there. So check it out. Get your tickets for that event on March 17th, the Max Inc. Radio Matinee Concert Series. Johnny, we were talking AI, and I see we've got caller Joanne on the line. Joanne from Madison. What's happening, Joanne?
I am just amazed that 24-item list of insights for superintendents has gotten me started. I'm just wondering if it includes something about the negative aspects. I'm thinking of what happens when students start producing deep fakes that are pornographic, especially mm-hmm. concerning teachers and their characteristics, or maybe are deep fakes that have political leanings that are inappropriate. I'm just a little worried about the dark side of what's emerging in terms of AI and whether or not the superintendents will be prepared for it.
You know what, Joanne? I only read a few of those, you know, right there. But if you go through the entire checklist that I was going here, in fact, you know, policy use, fair use, acceptability, censorship, deep fakes, it's actually in there. So, you know,
right, toxic or potentially spreading of disinformation on there, things that are toxic or unsafe for the learning environment. So it does mention it. But I share the concern with Joanne. This is one of my worries. My students are constantly reminding me, but there's also good. I was like, yeah, but there's also a lot of bad. So where we're at in this stuff, it's in there, but not as explicitly as probably we've been exposed to it.
Well, I know that some of the students will feel that they're really accomplished and very intelligent for producing those things. And to tell them, yeah, you know, you learn how to use AI, but use it appropriately. Hey, that's a deep lesson. I mean, that's a lesson a lot of people who are twice or three times the ages of the students haven't learned yet. So again, lots of things for those superintendents to learn.
Yes, there is. I would say, Joanne, how'd you like to be a superintendent today, dealing with, on top of everything else a superintendent deals with, now I got to think about AI policy?
Well, yeah. It's a big headache. I remember the Napster situation where we all thought at the very beginning, oh, Napster is such a wonderful tool and all that. And then students went way overboard. And then the cease and desist letters started coming and all that. I was involved a little in that back in the 90s, watching those come in and trying to work with some very perturbed students. And all of a sudden you had to tell students, no, you can't use your newly acquired technological capabilities for these nefarious purposes. You have to rein them in.
You got to do it. But
Tim, I remember being a college student on campus when you know the internet was still pretty new. Not new in general; it had been invented, of course, but you know it was still like very, very fresh that we could connect, and we would bring in like we just Napster was new. Right. And we were downloading music and it became a big problem on campuses. Could we use the campus internet connections and the labs, the computer labs to download, you know, songs and albums and all kinds of stuff. I remember those days.
Well, there you, I mean, I think that's a great point to make it put that way, because in Joanne, I think this is what you're, you know, again, talking about some of the really, really horrible things, but the reality of saying, you know, at what point is using generative AI potentially some form of an infringement on either copyright and different. Whoa, did you hear? I heard something go by right there. But you know, the whole idea here is to say, is it possible that potentially using AI could violate some kind of fair use doctrines that are out there? These are issues that we have to talk about. Lots to talk about. Well, Joanne from Madison. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, and Joanne's right. So there's an item on there, hallucinations of inappropriate content, right? And so it's covered in that checklist for the superintendents or for executive leaders, right? Do you have protections in place that help both protect identity and event accuracy, and some policies around hallucinations of inappropriate content, right? So you know, Joanne brought up that the AI's capability of, you know, generating photos of people in places that they weren't, like those are fabricated events.
Right. Well, it's that, and we had a show last week too about deep fakes. What is a deep fake? Well, we got to know what a deep fake is. Deep fake is when you are truly saying, and I have a colleague who has done a great job of creating a video of himself saying things. The problem is, Johnny, he never made that video himself. He used generative AI to learn his image, to learn his movements, and to learn his voice, and then produced a deep fake of himself giving instructions. That's what's happening. Can you imagine, though, being a superintendent? You got to know these things. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Uh-oh, Rico, Papa Rico, Rock County on the line. Papa Rico, what's happening, Papa?
Hey, how you guys doing, mate? You know,
hey, it's right.
Well, I, as my name implies, I'm just a bit older than you guys, okay?
Okay.
And this whole, okay, as I sit here tonight listening to you guys, I want to tell you how an old guy looks at this. Hey, you're talking about the AI, and there was other elements of the computer itself, I guess, with the iPads and everything coming into the school. And, you know, it takes me back to, I want to say it was like 1974 or 5. My grandma gave me an electronic calculator. They were like state-of-the-art back then.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was like in a very short period of time, everybody in the school system, you know, we got to figure out what to do about this. We got to take care of this calculator thing. Right? They'll be bringing these things into math class. Why even bother, you know? And they're just coming at it from a little older perspective there, guys. But we've actually crossed this bridge before.
Yeah, I love it, man. Papa Rico, he's a man of my own heart. He, like Tim remembers when I was first kicking and screaming about this AI thing, I did say, hey, I was a math teacher when we were really like saying, oh, no, should we or shouldn't we allow calculators in this? And you know, we got by and we figured out how to do it. I do think a lot of this is, you know, isn't the same, but it sure does rhyme, right? It's very similar.
Yep.
I love that. Thanks,
Papa Rico. Thanks for the call. And check it out, man. Hopefully nobody's ever going to deep fake Papa Rico and give us that call. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We're getting ready to transition from AI, but always, 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 actually any topic. If you want to just interrupt and start something on your own, not a problem. If you want to get back on AI, but Johnny, check it out. I'm going to bring this up. Okay. In the era of we're censoring everything that somebody's potentially offended by, the reality is, and we've talked about this news story, 2/3 of teachers report feeling like they're challenged about whether or not they can or cannot teach. Coming out of Georgia, though, there's a lawsuit that claims, hey, teachers are saying, sorry, I can't teach under these curriculum restrictions. In fact, I'm protected in my position as a teacher that I have to teach about these things. And you can't fire me just because the law comes in and says truth now is potentially making people uncomfortable. Therefore, teacher, you can't teach that. Sorry, I'm a teacher. I'm going to throw that term out there, Johnny. I have academic freedom. I have the ability to teach truth even when people mandate the teaching of lies. Teacher, that's, you know what that's called? Yeah, that's tenure. Everybody out there's going, oh my God, not tenure. That's the horrible thing that keeps teachers who are crappy from being fired. Well, maybe, maybe not. But it is also one of those things. Most importantly, and this to me is the heart of recognizing academic freedom and tenure, get away from bad teachers can't be fired and recognize that tenure, academic freedom, is the protection of having the freedom to teach students, children, people, the truth, the realities about things. It's a protection about being able to truth tell, to teacher. So Johnny, so many times tenure gets brought up as this simple little, you get a union teacher, they just can't be fired and they all know it and then they just get crappy. Let's talk about it. Now you want to strip away tenure? Now you're taking away the ability of your children's teachers to teach truth. That's the way I look at this.
Well, Tim, I think it's an important thing to bring up. It's extremely timely and it's popping up everywhere in almost every state across this country. And the loop back, you shared some news headlines this week specifically about how 2/3 of the teachers felt like they can't teach the things they might want to be teaching or oftentimes need to, like they feel a need to be taught. And this is the part I'll kind of throw out there is it's a little scary right now because education is a state right. And if your state legislation advocates against or it advocates in favor of what we know to be disinformation or harmful information, inaccurate histories, or bans specific things that we know by and large are part of a healthy, well-rounded education for children, teachers are put in a dilemma, right? Mm-hmm. It's a difficult position, and we're seeing teachers in that position far too often. So it's real. Tim, I want to bring it up out there. There are a lot of teachers, like the article you shared earlier, 2/3 of the teachers out there expressing concern that they feel like they can't teach maybe what ought to be taught. And these aren't really extreme cases. This is really kind of common, and it's real. I want to sit there. It's not like a perception. Mm-mm. Right? State education is a state right, and there is an attack on what's taught in schools launched by political views that are not aligned with scientific consensus or best information out there from experts in pediatricians, mental health experts, human development experts that remind us, hey,
historians,
that's part of what I mean by scientific consensus. History is a set of practices and tools that follows a method, like the scientific method, that goes out there, and diverse perspectives are pushed against one another, and we figure out, okay, here's how we can tell what is consensus in terms of what we at the current time know as best knowledge or truth, right? And we as educators, like responsible journalists, we as educators, when we know better, are committed to doing better, right? Mm-hmm. So this is contributing to a difficult position teachers are often put in, is they might know what's best for children to be learning or doing. And they're increasingly maybe feeling like they're not allowed to do that. It's been something that's banned or prohibited in their district or by their state. And that's a big problem, Tim. That's a big problem.
It's a huge problem. And so this here too, just to make sure we hear this right, Georgia lawsuit claims that veteran teachers are threatened. This isn't a lawsuit taking teachers to court. This is a lawsuit in favor of teachers, making sure that teachers are protected and have that freedom to teach the knowledge, the scientific consensus, the expert consensus, the reality that is out there. That this is the lawsuit pushing back and saying, 2/3 of teachers, you shouldn't be afraid to teach what's best for kids. We're going to take a lawsuit, right, Johnny?
That's the key, Tim. You're seeing these are teachers and groups of teachers and teacher organizations that are saying that that it's not teach anything. It's to teach that information we know as the best information.
And hey, check it out. Who is that? Oh, my God. That can't be. Is that? I hear it. Yeah, that's one of the bands from Max Inc. Radio. That's Iron Plow. There it is. Busted Pencils. Check us out when we get back.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show. Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were and her scars or how she got them.
You're never going to get scars, busted pencils. No, these busted pencils are scar-proof. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. It is Friday, kind of rehashing everything that went on this week, making sure to let everybody know about the Max Inc. Radio Matinee Concert, Sunday, March 17th, High Noon Saloon. Check it out. You're going to see bands, Super Tanker, Iron Plow, and man, Cindy Set My Hair on Fire, or anybody, if you're listening or watching on the live stream, either on Facebook or YouTube, you say, "Johnny, Tim, you guys don't have to worry about that. There's no hair left for you guys to have set on fire." But Johnny, AI, but then a lawsuit now finally coming in favor of teachers and protecting the freedom of teachers to teach what's best for kids. This coming in too in February, one more headline: Black History Month teaching strategies change amid curriculum restrictions. And yes, it's going into February. Another article looking at, hey, teachers, it's Black History Month. And the reality is the teachers are going, you know what? I'm not so sure that the activity I did last year, I'm not sure I can do it this year because I'm worried about potentially being fired or called on it. This is a real issue. We keep putting this out there in different ways. Two-thirds of teachers are fearful. Georgia, there's a law coming back to put, or a lawsuit pushing back against this. But to remind everybody that with that one lawsuit pushing back, the reality still exists. The teachers are cutting back on what they teach. And as we're in February, Black History Month, the reality that teachers are saying literally 1 year ago, "I used to teach this. I don't teach it anymore." Not for it, like all of a sudden there's a new truth that they came to realize and, "Oh my God, I can't teach this." They're sheltering. They're keeping these concepts, the knowledges, these diverse understandings away from the children in front of them out of a fear. And you sit there and go, like, Black History Month, how can you have that fear? 844-967-2789. You want to jump in there. But, you know, Johnny, we're thinking about this, you know, coming up the end of February, putting this all together. Two-thirds of teachers are fearful. Black History Month, teachers are not doing it. I got to wonder, when are there going to be more lawsuits like we see in Georgia where people are coming back and saying, "You know what? We are going to sue in favor of teachers teaching Black history during Black History Month." And Johnny would say, you know, not just Black History Month, Tim. How about all year long, the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah, you were reading my mind, you know. Well, and I think, Tim, what you're bringing up is really important, is there is a chilling effect out there around this. And I'm putting up scare quotes if you're just a listener and you're not on the YouTube seeing us live, but, you know, what's controversial. And so, you know, this goes across the board. If a teacher is teaching a science lesson about, you know, say global climate change or the, you know, the temperature changes in the Atlantic Ocean, there was just a big article out, you know, from scientific journals this week about some really important factors and indicators around global climate change. And, you know, is that a controversial issue? Are human rights or children's rights a controversial issue? Is teaching about, you know, teacher Joanna and teacher Hallie come on every Wednesday with us, Educators Amplified, and talk about how important it is, the great work that teachers are doing to help young people stay regulated in terms of their emotional and psychological well-being around each other and in learning spaces. You know, is that controversial? And so, you know, we're in this moment, unfortunately, where there is a chilling effect impacting what teachers feel like they can teach. And so I hope, Tim, I hope that this lawsuit in Georgia is, you know, one of many to come, because I think it's a scary truth right now that our classrooms are canaries in the coal mine for the kinds of ways. And I hate, I know I sound like I'm sensationalizing here, but we've had guests come on. We've had experts share these kinds of thoughts with us. And it is every way true. This is scarily the rise of fascism. When we start to use force, right, to prohibit people from learning important things about being healthy together, right? This is a scary thing. So I'm not trying to be sensational.
No, I was going to say you're not being sensational, because the way you just said that, though, this is what's happening. We are attempting and putting in legislation that prohibits the freedom to learn.
Yeah.
You might think, like, you busted pencils, guys. You guys, is that fat? That's fascist, man.
Yeah,
sorry.
Way, like, we like to learn from history. And one thing history has taught us is the signs and the indicators of, you know, an emboldened and increased movement towards fascism. And we talk all the time about how this is a democracy and we are stewards of that democracy and our civic responsibility to being democratic citizens. You know, part of being exercising our democratic right is supporting these kinds of lawsuits and this pressure on legislation to not just allow teachers to do anything. No one's advocating that, but to teach scientific consensus, to teach expert opinion, right? Which we might even say is expert fact.
Yeah,
right. There we go. Right. But let's just be kind of like, let's just be a little neutral, even though we know that's impossible, right? Howard Zinn reminded us, you can't be neutral on a moving train,
right?
And we're on a moving planet. So, you know, good luck being neutral anywhere, right? Because it's moving. But, you know, that said, you know, it's impossible to ever be neutral. But I'll give it that. Like, we always, as teachers, are learning the best information out there, right? In scientific consensus. That's a little teaser. We got an amazing guest coming on next week. We know our regular listeners will hear him. But astrophysicist Ethan will be joining us because he's got something to say. He's a man of the people. He's got something to say about how this movement to censor scientific literacy for young people might be a problem.
Could be a problem. Ah, man. Looking forward to next week.
Oh, man.
What a great week. All the callers, thank you for making this week awesome. Hey, just a reminder, too. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Download that Civic Media app. Check it out. Make sure you download every podcast from this entire week. You can do it. You can listen all Saturday, all Sunday. It's your homework. Get ready, because on Monday, we'll be busting pencils again. See y'all on Monday.
Rock and roll.
Devil's Advocates with Dom and Kroot. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. An Alabama Supreme Court decision that equates frozen embryos with children could become a major